Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechta Sukkah, Daf Tes Zayin. The first parak, Sukkah Shehi Gavoa. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav Amanov stated, Achot Begadish Lasso Eslo Sukkah in a Sukkah. If one hauled out a haystack to make a Sukkah, the Sukkah's puzzle. On our Daf, Rav Huna says, Oshanu El She'ein Sham Chalo Tefach B'Mechashiva. They taught this halacha only regarding a case where there is no cavity inside the haystack, one tefach high for a length of seven tefachim. If there was a cavity one tefach high for a length of seven tefachim, then it is a kosher sukkah. Rush explains that for the straw to meet the definition of schach, it would have to cover an empty space of at least one tefach high, but that's the minimum height of an oel. Therefore, if it also has a length of seven tefachim, it would meet the requirement of kosher schach, and there would not be an issue of tasa b'lo min asui. Although the cavity needs to be hauled out further to a height of 10 tefachim, that's necessary only in order to make the walls kosher, and the requirement of tasim v'lamin asui does not apply to sukkah walls. Point number two, in the next mission, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakama, who holds that if one constructs sukkah walls from the top down, then if a wall is 3 tefachim above the ground, it's possible. Rabbi Yossi says, Keshem shel matu l'mala sar tefachim, kach melamala mata sar tefachim. Just as a wall built from the bottom up is kosher, if it's 10 tefachim, so to a wall built from the top down is kosher, provided it's 10 tefachim high, regardless of the gap between it and the ground. Now, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yossi maintains, mechitza tluya materis, a suspended partition is a kosher mechitza. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Erevin where Rabbi Yehuda rules that in a case of a cistern between two chatzeros, the wall running over the cistern should act as a mechitza to legally divide the water, even if it does not enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds mechitza tluya materis in the case of sukkah walls. And so to hear the wall going over the cistern, which is a mechitza tluya, is considered a full wall. The Gemara rejects this suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a derabban, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as sukkah. And perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an isra aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an isra skila. And point number three, Rav Chissa said in the name of Avimi, Machatzelas arba'al mashu materis basukkah mishum dofen. A mat whose width is 4 tefachim and a bit is a kosher wall for a sukkah. What does one do to render it a kosher wall? One suspends it midway between the schach and the ground with a gap of less than 3 tefachim below it and a gap of less than 3 tefachim above it. And it's a kosher wall because any gap less than 3 tefachim wide is treated as though it were closed based on lavud. The Gemara explains that one might have thought, Chad lavud amrinan, tre lavud lo amrinan, that we apply the law of lavud to extend a mechitza once, but not to apply lavud to extend it twice. Rav Chissa therefore teaches that we apply lavud twice to the same mechitza. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Tezvav Amanov stated, Achot begadish lasel so sukkah in a sukkah, if one hauled out a haystack, to make a sukkah, the sukkah's pasul. On our daf, Rav Huna says, "Oshanu el she'ein shem chalo tefach b'mechashiva." They taught this halacha only regarding a case where there was no cavity inside the haystack, one tefach high for a length of 7 tefachim. If there was a cavity, one tefach high for a length of 7 tefachim, then it is a kosher sukkah. Rashi explains that for the straw to meet the definition of schach, it would have to cover an empty space of at least one tefach high, for that's the minimum height of an ohel. Therefore, if it also has a length of 7 tefachim, it would meet the requirement of kosher schach, and there would not be an issue of tas v'lumin asui. Although the cavity needs to be hauled out further to a height of 10 tefachim, that is necessary only in order to make the walls kosher, and the requirement of tas v'lumin asui does not apply to sukkah walls. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakama, who holds that if one constructs sukkah walls from the top down, then if a wall is 3 tefachim above the ground, it's pasul. Rabbi Yossi says, Keshem shmolamata lamala sar tefachim, kach molamala mata sar tefachim. Just as a wall built from the bottom up is kosher if it's 10 tefachim, so too a wall built from the top down is kosher, provided it's 10 tefachim high, regardless of the gap between it and the ground. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yossi maintains, mechitza tluya materis, a suspended partition is a kosher mechitza. Now the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Erevin where Rabbi Yehuda rules that in a case of a cistern between two chatzeros, the wall running over the cistern should act as a mechitza to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds mechitza tluya materis in the case of the sukkah walls. And so to hear the wall going over the cistern, which is a mechitza tluya, is considered a full wall. The Gemara rejects this suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a derabban, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as sukkah. and perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to Sukkah, which is an Isser Aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila. And point number three, Rav Chisda said in the name of Avimi, Machatzelos arba'ahu mashu materes b'sukkah mishum dofen. A mat whose width is four tefachim and a bit is a kosher wall for a sukkah. What does one do to render it a kosher wall? One suspends it midway between the schach and the ground with a gap of less than three tefachim below it and a gap of less than three tefachim above it. And it's a kosher wall because any gap less than three tefachim wide is treated as though it were closed based on lavud. The Gemara explains that one might have thought, chad lavud amrinan, tre lavud lo amrinan, that we apply the law of lavud to extend a mechitza once, but not to apply lavud to extend it twice. Rav Chisda therefore teaches that we apply lavud twice to the same mechitza. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Tet Zayin, and our standard simon is toes. Toes. So here goes. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefach high, landed with one foot under a mechitza tluya and the other under a suspended mat that was four tefachim and a bit in size. Once again, slow motion. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes, that must be one Daf Tet Zayin. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefach high, which reminds us, in the case of a chote begadish, if one hauled out a haystack and there was a cavity one tefach high for a length of seven tefachim, then it is a kosher sukkah. Rush explains that for the straw to meet the definition of schach, it would have to cover an empty space of at least one tefach high, for that's the minimum height of an oath. Therefore, if it also has the length of seven tefachim, it would meet the requirement of kosher schach, and there would not be an issue of tasav aluminasui. Although the cavity needs to be hauled out further to a height of 10 tefachim, that's necessary only in order to make the walls kosher, and the requirement of tasav aluminasui does not apply to sukkah walls. So, the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefach high, landed with one foot under a mechitza tluya, which reminds us. In the next mission, Rabbi Yossi holds that if one constructs sukkah walls from the top down, then even if a wall is three tefachim above the ground or higher, it's kosher, for he maintains that a mechitza tluya is materis, a suspended partition is a kosher mechitza. A similar case from Erevin is brought, where Rabbi Yudah rules that in the case of a cistern between two chatzeros, the wall running over the cistern should act as mechitza to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity, and suggests that Rabbi Yudah's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds mechitza tluya materis in the case of the sukkah. And so to hear the wall going over the cistern, which is a mechitza tuli, is considered a full wall. The Gemara rejects the suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a derabbanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as sukkah, and perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an Isser Aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila. So the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefach high, landed with one foot under a mechitza tuliya, and the other under a suspended mat that was four tefachim and a bit in size. Which reminds us, Machatzelos arba'ahu mashu materes b'sukkah mishum dofen, a mat whose width is four tefachim and a bit and is suspended midway between the schach and the ground with a gap of less than three tefachim below it and a gap of less than three tefachim above it is a kosher wall because any gap less than three tefachim wide is treated as though it were closed based on lavud. The Gemara explains that one might have thought, chad lavud amrin, tre lavud lo amrin, that we apply the law of lavud to extend a mechitza once, but not to apply lavud to extend it twice. Rav Chisda therefore teaches that we apply lavud twice to the same mechitza. So once again, the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefach high, landed with one foot under a mechitza tluya, and the other under a suspended mat that was four tefachim and a bit in size. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazorah. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simmer Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. Six brothers pranked other six brothers. 12 brothers in total. That must be one Daf Yud Beis. Six brothers brought bundles of straw from the field to store it and then hid in a hauled out haystack, which reminds the Rabbi Yirmi clarifies based on a statement said in the name of Yochanan that the reason why tied bundles may not be used for schach is mishum gezeres otzer, because of a rabbinic decree against the use of a storage house. And the explanation for why the hauled out haystack is puzzle is because of the derisa of tasev lominasui. So six brothers brought bundles of straw from the field to store and then hid in a hauled out haystack after they pranked their other six brothers' sukkah with schach made of female arrow shafts, which reminds us the Rabbi Yehuda sending them of Rav that if one would cover the sukkah with male arrow shafts, it's kosher, but if you cover it with female arrow shafts, it's pasul. With the first of halacha of male arrow shafts being kosher, Rav is coming to teach that we're not gozer against male shafts because of female shafts. And with the second halacha of benekevus basul, he's coming to clarify that one might have said base kibo asilu malus loshme kibo, a receptacle made to be filled permanently, is not considered a receptacle of base kibo, and since the female arrow shaft is made to be filled permanently, permanently, it should not be makabel tumah. Therefore, Rav teaches that it is considered a base kibul and cannot be used as schach. So six brothers brought bundles of straw from the field to store and then hid in a hollowed-out haystack. After they pranked their other six brothers, sukkah with schach made of female arrow shafts and plenty of smelly herbs. Which reminds Rav Yehuda said that one may use ferns and artemisia herbs for schach since they're not fit for consumption and therefore not makabel tumah. Abai said that one may use ferns for schach but not artemisia herbs since their odor is offensive and one will abandon the sukkah and leave. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The guests at the sukkah-themed bar mitzvah party that featured bound date palm stumps as centerpieces listen attentively to the bar mitzvah bacher. Bar mitzvah bacher, that must be more Daf Yud Gimel. The guests at the sukkah-themed bar mitzvah party that featured bound date palm stumps as centerpieces, which reminds the Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav that one may use the offshoots of the date palm for schach, although they're bound together at their base and resemble a bundle, because eg b'dei shamayim mushma eged, and even if one would bind the offshoots together, which Rosh explains is done to make the offshoots lay flat and smooth in the way that they cover the top of the sukkah and provide shade, it's still not deemed an eged, because eged b'chad mushma eged, a binding of a single object, is not deemed an eged. So the guests at the sukkah-themed bar mitzvah party that featured bound date palm stumps as centerpieces listen attentively to the bar mitzvah bacher speaking inside a conical bird hunter hut, which reminds Rabbi Abba said that these conical bird hunter huts made of aravos, once their upper knots are undone, they're kosher to be used as schach. And when the Gemara asks why they're kosher since they're still bound together below, well, Papa answered by discussing a case where he untied the rope holding together below but left the braid intact. Rabbi Abba's teaching that even though the braiding is in place, the branches may be used as schach. Rav Huna Braid Rav Shu answered that you can even say he did not untie the bottom knot. The reason they're kosher as schach is because eged she'enu asui lo taltalo roshme eged. Any eged that's not made in a manner that allows it to be carried is not deemed an eged and is therefore fit for schach. And Rashi explains that the branches would slip out of the braid once it's carried. So the guests at the sukkah-themed bar mitzvah party that featured bound date palm stumps as centerpieces listen attentively to the bar mitzvah bacher speaking inside a conical bird hunter hut about the crumbling nature of maror leaves which make maror puzzle as schach. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said in the name of Shmuel that maror cannot be used as schach since when it dries up it crumbles and falls down and ceases to form a roof. Therefore it's as though they're not even here before they dry up. Daf Yadal, the Simmer Daf Yadal is a hand, and we use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler, that must be more in Daf Yadal, Yad, hand. The juggler juggling pitchforks as he daven, which reminds Rabbi Lazar, said, Lama nimshla tefilasan shal tzadikim ka'eser, why are the tefilas of tzadikim compared to a pitchfork? To tell you, da ma'eser ze mahapech za tefu, begorim ma'makom ma'makom, af tefilasan shal tzadikim ma'hapech ez da tshol kadosh baruch hu, memidas ha'chzari ez lemidas rachmanas, just as the pitchfork turns over the grain that's on the threshing floor and tosses it from one place to another, so too the tefillos of tzaddikim turn over, so to speak, the attitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the attribute of harsh judgment to the attribute of mercy. So the juggler juggling pitchforks as he davened while standing on sukkah boards that were less than 4 tefachim wide, which reminds the next Mishnah states, Masachim Minasarim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Osa. Rabbi Yehuda says, we may cover a sukkah with boards, but Rabbi Meir prohibits them. Rav says, the Malchok is with boards that have a width of at least 4 tefachim. The Rabbi Meir Esle Gezeres Tikra, for Rabbi Meir subscribes to the rabbinic decree prohibiting boards that resemble those of the roof of a house. And Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the Gezeres Tikra and therefore permits such boards. They both agree that boards that are less than 4 tefachim or kosher. Shmuel says they disagree regarding boards that are between 3 and 4 tefachim wide. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since they lack the size of a makam chashuv, a significant area, we're not gozer that they are puzzle, where Meir holds that since they are beyond the scope of lavud, we are gozer that they are puzzle. So the juggler juggling pitchforks as he davened while standing on sukkah boards that were less than 4 tefachim wide dropped one between some sukkah boards that were standing on their sides. Which reminds us, it was stated, Hafachan al Tziden, if one turned the boards on their sides and covered the sukkah with them, Rav Huna says that they are puzzled, and Rav Nachman explains that they're treated like metal spits that are makabel tumah, but Rav Chis and Rabba Rav Huna say that they are kosher because the Rabban only prohibited boards that resemble the roof of a house, which is not the case here. Dav Tezvav, so the Simmer Dav Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The fruit bowl display, fruit bowl, that must be one Dav Tezvav. The fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher, loosening the boards on top, started shaking them, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that Tikra Sheino Lehem Azeva, a roof of boards that has no plaster on it, Rav Yehuda says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree over what must be done to render a kosher eschach. Beis Shammai says, Mefakpek venota achzbeim time. One loosens the board because of tazvo min asui and takes out one board from between every two boards because he holds of gezeres tikra. Beis Hillel say, Mefakpek onota achzbeim time. One loosens them or takes one board from between every two boards because he doesn't hold of gezeres tikra, and therefore only one of the two methods is necessary to overcome the problem that they were originally placed there for a house. Rav Meir says, no to achzbeim time. Rav Meir, as we learn, holds that four tefachim boards are possible for schach and need to be replaced with kosher schach, and once that is done, no other action is necessary. So the fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, as another one knocks them over while inserting metal spits. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that one who makes a roof over a sukkah with spits or with the sides of the bed, if there is space between them as wide as the items themselves, and he fills the gaps with kosher schach, the sukkah is kosher. And the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah is not in accordance with Rav Huna, but Rav Yeshua holds parts go omer aser. The Gemara answers Rav Huna would say that the Mishnah means a case of bitnikness for yotze, where a spit would go in and out of each gap easily, meaning the gaps are wider than the spits. Rava answers the Mishnah can even be a case where the gaps were not enlarged slightly more than the width of the spits. Rather, if the spits were placed lengthwise, then he placed the valid schach crosswise across the top of the spits. And if he placed the spits crosswise, he'd place the valid schach lengthwise. In these cases, the valid schach will exceed the puzzle spits. So the fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, as another one knocks them over while inserting metal spits and tossing over some old clothes as schach. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the sides of a bed are not valid as schach, and the Gemara suggests that this supports the opinion of Rabbi Ami Bar Tov Yom, who said that if one covered his sukkah with worn-out pieces of clothing, the sukkah is pasul, although these pieces of fabric are no longer kelim and should therefore be kosher. The Rabbanu goes that since they were originally part of kelim that were makabel tuma, they cannot be used as schach. The Gemara deflects his proof, saying that the Mishnah is dealing with a long side of the bed with two short legs, or a short side with two legs, which means these sides of the bed are kelim and are thus pasul for schach. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.